Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warwick County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Good morning, Tri-State. It is good to be back and talk to you about addiction and recovery, and the speaker today brings such hope. Her story is one of danger, drugs, degradation, and despair, but also hope and enlightenment and strength and compassion. She is incredible. Her name is Octavia. She's from Evansville, Indiana. She's a strong leader of women and has a lot to share with us. Good morning, Octavia. Thanks for coming and your honesty. Thank you.
Good morning, Lisa, and good morning, Tri-State. Thank you so much for having me. I feel blessed to be here and truly honored to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's an honor to be able to be honorable.
Okay.
In our recovery. But
it is.
Tell us about you.
Well, like you said, I was born and raised right here in Evansville all my life. I'm 40 years old. I have two kids. My son is 21 and my daughter, she's 17 years old. And this has been where I've lived at almost all my life. I have left Evansville just for a few years, but always came back because I love Evansville.
Yeah.
This is my hometown. This is where my family was raised, my mother and my dad just across the river over there in Kentucky. So I love Evansville. I love this place. I do. But I tell you, drugs and alcohol played a real big part in my life. Practically all my life, because I grew up with an alcoholic mother, so all I seen was, drinking and fighting and music, and it was really violent, you know, as a kid growing up with me and my brother. I was always scared. There was really no one there for me, you know.
Kind of always on your own.
On my own, on my own, and I used to say that. I pretty much raised myself.
So you saw a lot of drunkenness.
Oh, yeah. We lived right behind Apollo Liquor Store, right there on Walnut and Governor. So the crowd would kind of spill over into our yard, and it was always something going on, you know. And I was always scared. My mother, she was abused as a child. I saw that, yeah. And I was too young to do anything for her. And so I guess I grew up with a lot of anger. I didn't understand why my life was that way. I didn't understand why I had to be born to the parents I was born to and why they acted the way they acted. And I, like I said, I was angry and I was rebellious, but I never wanted to be like my mother. I never wanted to drink. You know, I never wanted to be in an abusive relationship. But lo and behold, I found myself going through all of those things. And then I became angry with myself because I went through those things, because those were the very things I said I was not going to do.
Octavia, do you think, as a child of an alcoholic, do you think for children it is more difficult when it's the mother that's alcoholic and that's raising you instead of a father that's alcoholic and raising you?
Yeah, I think so, because the mother is mostly the primary caregiver.
Yeah, the nurturer.
The nurturer, you know. It's not to say that dad isn't there, although
right.
My father wasn't in my life, you know. I didn't meet him until I was 10 years old. But my mother was just always there.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever her mood and her actions were my mood and my actions. So, you know, it was like a double-edged sword.
Mothers are so powerful.
Mothers are very, very powerful. But I'll tell you something
else.
Too. Aunts are powerful.
Yes.
I have an aunt whom I love with all my heart. And I tell you, she would come around in those difficult times when I was growing up, when my mother was drinking and I was about to get punished for something I didn't do. Or maybe I did do it, but my mother had been on a drinking binge or something. And my aunt would come and she would just take me away, you know. She always loved me. She always had time for me. She always cared about me. And right to this day, She's still like that in my life.
You were talking about her to us before the show, and we were talking about how one adult in a person's life, especially a child where there's addiction, can make a difference.
Yeah, and she made that difference, along with some other people, but my aunt, she's like a mainstay.
Adults need to know they can not be a parent, but step up to the plate.
Exactly. And my aunt has done that time and time again in my life, has always stepped up, has always loved me. And of course, you know, when I was out there using drugs, I know that she was probably ashamed that I was out there as bad as I was, because it got really, really bad. My addiction took me to dark alleys, dark corners, and dark people. I hung out with people who would have sooner have killed you than to look at you if you didn't have what it was that they wanted. You know, and I was that type of person too, because that's what my addiction took me to. You know, it took
hardened you.
Oh my gosh, I was very, very hard. I was very.
That's
very
hard to believe, knowing you now.
But thank you.
Crack cocaine will do it.
It'll do it.
How did this little girl in an alcoholic, crazy home that knew her mother's addiction was grow up into a crack world?
I don't know how it happened, other than I never felt like I fit in. I always felt different. I was either too tall, too dark, or something. Always different. I was always comparing myself. Mm-hmm. And so when it came to trying drugs or trying alcohol, I did it.
You weren't scared?
No, I wasn't scared. No, I wasn't scared. And I felt like, as far as fear went, how could my life get any worse than it's already been? Based on the way my childhood was. If I could go through that, this isn't going to be anything.
Wow.
And that's the way I always looked at things.
Sure.
You know?
It was better than where you came from. At least you felt good when you used
exactly,
the stuff.
Exactly. And I don't have to think about, you know, the molestations and the rapes and everything. I don't have to think about those things, because this is going to be my quick fix. This is going to make me feel all right. Plus, I'll get some friends, you know. I might even get a boyfriend out of the deal, you know. And so that was my mentality. Yeah.
Wow. And that happens fast.
Yeah, it happens real fast. And so I wasn't afraid to try crack for the first time.
Huh.
And I realized the first time that I tried it that I liked it entirely too much. So I stopped using it, you know, and went back to just the gateway drug, marijuana, and a little drinking and everything. But even that had me, you know, had me by the throat, because I'd pour all my money into that, you know what I mean? And so...
And you were, what, 18, 19
at the time? I was in my early 20s, 24 or 25, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I started drinking a whole lot and smoking marijuana, and I committed my first felony ever. And I come from a family where my brother was the one who was always getting into trouble. And
criminal trouble.
Boys school. Yeah, criminal trouble. I was considered, as far as legal stuff goes, the good one, because I hadn't been to jail. Well, I must have committed a burglary in 1993, I believe it was, and went to jail for the first time, and ran up against some of those hard women that I turned out to be some years later. And the old Vandenberg County Jail. And I guess a few years after that, I moved to Indianapolis, and that's when my addiction took over.
Wow.
The addiction to crack, it took over then.
So did jail harden you as well as the addiction?
Yeah, because, I mean, in jail, you know, there's, you know, you meet some different people, and everybody is has an agenda.
Yeah.
You know?
Not to use you,
but you had to steel yourself against that type of thing. So, along with the drug abuse and being in jail and everything else like that, you know, I had to be able to take care of myself. Plus, coming from the childhood, so I had to take care of myself there, and had this persona of that and that facade, and then, you know, in jail, another facade, And so it was just one thing on top of the other. Mm. And
you were just always in survivor mode, it sounds
always,
like.
Always, always. And in 1995, I went to prison for 2 years.
For the burglary?
Yes, for the burglary and theft. And that added more, you know, because that is, that's something within itself. Being taken out of society and sat somewhere else and told 24 hours of the day what to do, what to wear, when to go. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Did you decide when you were in there, like a lot of people do when they're in prison or jail,
yeah,
never again?
Yes, I did. I did. And that's when I decided that I had to do something different with my life, decided that all the things I said I did not want to do with my life, they were coming to pass. And I was starting to do some of those things. And so when I got out in 1997, I went to a treatment center for women, and I stayed there. And I relapsed twice between 97 and 99. And in 1999, I started on a journey of being clean, being sober, being a productive member of society. I was working. My kids were back with me, because all this time that I'm in jail, in prison, in the streets, my mother had my kids.
Mm. Thank God for grandparents,
thank
too.
Thank God for grandparents. Thank yeah. God for them. And so I enrolled in school. Like I said, I had a job, and everything was going well. And I was clean for 4 years, you know.
My goodness.
And it was
after
it was,
prison.
After
huh?
prison. After prison. And
after treatment.
And after treatment.
So prison's not really treatment.
No. It, no, prison is really, honestly, what you make it.
Prison.
Prison is prison. But there are some programs that they do have, and you can take advantage of them if you want to.
You can?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And did
I,
you?
Yes, I did. I went to a relapse prevention group there.
Great.
It was... I believe it was a 9-month program, and then they had meetings there that you could go to.
So you were introduced to AA?
Yeah.
And then they,
yeah.
Oh, great.
And so I took advantage of it, because I knew that I was going to have to come back out here
yes.
and live. Mm. And I got 4 years clean, and everything was going well. I started to acquire some things that I hadn't had before. I'd had my own place before, but I mean... a comfortable place, mm-hmm. something that was mine.
Felt like you were growing up.
Yes, I felt like an adult. I
yes.
had a car. I had a little money in the bank.
Sure.
I had accolades from other people from the different
noticing
groups I went to.
You're changing.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So that made me feel good.
All was good.
Yeah, but that fourth year, towards the end of that fourth year, I got into a relationship with a guy who was also dealing with his own addiction problems. And I thought, because I had 4 years clean, I could help him.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Sounds like the demise of every good woman.
And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. It didn't work.
So. Yeah, that seems to be... So let's talk more about that when we get back after the break, Octavia. Hold on, everybody. We have a break and some good commercials coming your way. We will be right back on Radio Rehab with Octavia. Thank you.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Hey, this is the Big E. Let me tell you what's going on this beautiful Saturday morning. It's the Cleve CME Church Flea Market. Now, this event started yesterday, and it's continuing on this morning. Now, on the outside, let me tell you, I'm going to go straight to the food. Outside, they're having chicken and rib plates, cheesecakes, Polish sausage, hot dogs, boiled corn, and hamburgers. And on the inside, check this out, They have salmon sandwiches, potato soup, chest pie, banana pudding, and a whole lot more. So this morning, they're going to be going on actually till about 2 in the afternoon. You want to make your way over to Clee CME Church, located right there on the corner of Lyon Street and Mulberry. So you know exactly where it's at. But you get over that way, you'll see all of the festivities going on. We're going to check back in with Cleves a little bit later on. You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warwick County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
We're back with Octavia talking about her recovery from crack cocaine addiction, and she is now living in the Ruth's House in Evansville, Indiana, and doing beautifully. She's an awesome role model for women in recovery. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Octavia is back. You had 4 years sobriety?
I had 4 years sobriety.
My gosh, going to meetings and everything?
I was going to meetings up until that fourth year. About halfway into that fourth year, I guess I felt like I was cured.
And got involved with a man.
And I relapsed one night. I got up one night, grabbed some money, jumped in my car, and I relapsed.
You went right back to crack?
Went right back to crack.
So even after 4 years clean, you knew right where to go to get some?
Of course, yeah. Mm. Late at night, people standing around, walking around.
Yeah. What went through your head, Octavia? After 4 years, everything going good.
Actually, what went through my head was, Octavia, you know you don't have any business doing this. But then there was another side that said, you'll be okay. It's not going to be that bad. You're not going to blow that much money. You'll get yourself together. You'll be okay. You know, I lied to myself.
Yeah.
I lied. And I lied all the way up until I started losing things. And
so then, did you get right back into the dope?
Oh, yeah.
And the streets?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, not right back into it because I still had my car and I still had my apartment and everything else like that. But it wasn't 3 months.
No kidding.
It wasn't 3 months and I didn't have my car anymore. I
didn't 90 days, it was all gone. Four years.
Four years, all gone. Everything was gone. My daughter, like I said, I'd gotten my kids back. My mother came down here and got my daughter again because she was livid when she found that I was using again.
Sure.
She was absolutely livid. And my son was in Job Corps, and bless his heart, he finished. He graduated Job Corps despite not having a mother. Mm. Who was supposed to have been there to be supportive, he still finished Job Corps and graduated.
Good for him.
So I'm very proud of him. Despite every obstacle in my life, he hurdled my obstacles and still made it.
What a survivor, too. Like his mom, a survivor. Yeah. Well, we need to say, too, your mother did get sober.
Yes.
Thank God she quit the drinking.
Yes, my mother has not had a drink in over 20 years. So, you know, and she's another strong woman that I look to for strength and support, even though she lives in Indianapolis. And I know the type of drinker that she was. If my mother can do it, I know by the grace of God I can do it.
So families can recover.
Yes, families can recover.
So after 4 years, you're back on the streets. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I just heard this last night, that you were the woman that got shot a few years ago and left for dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Over a drug deal?
Actually, it wasn't over a drug deal. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And my addiction took me to the depths of, I sold my body for drugs. And this young man, I didn't know him. He didn't know me. He pulled out a gun and he shot me.
Out on the streets?
Out in an alley. Mm-hmm. In an alley, yeah. And he shot me twice. And I guess, well, I know. It's only by the grace of God that I'm sitting here. Because the police said that I wasn't even supposed to survive those two gunshots with a 45 caliber gun.
And he's in jail, I hope.
Yeah, he's in jail. He's in jail. But I have no animosity towards that young man. I have no animosity towards him because it was my lifestyle that had me in that situation. The person that I am today, I would not be
out there at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning in an alley. I wouldn't do that. I'm in the bed by 9 o'clock now.
Yeah,
as it is.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
You know, it was my lifestyle
sure.
that drove me to that. And I guess his lifestyle, whatever that was. I don't know that young man's story. I can just speak for myself.
So was that the beginning of another journey of sobriety for you?
It was the beginning. Although, even after I recovered from the gunshots, I went back out after about 4 months. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I know.
God, you're
I know.
Kidding me.
No, I'm not. I did. I went back out for about 4 months, but things was not the same because I was always afraid. I always thought, this time it's going to happen to me. Every deal that I went
sure.
and made, you know, I thought this was going to be the guy that was actually going to kill me since the other guy failed, you know. And it wasn't until I got put on Vandenberg County's drug court with Judge Trockman and Debbie Mowbray.
Yeah.
And Debbie Mowbray's
great
another,
team.
Yeah, a great team. And she's another lady that I have a history with. And she has also been an inspiration in my life. She always knew that I had something good to offer.
Because so you've just always had people.
I've always,
that
God has always blessed
you.
Me with people that believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And that has been one of my biggest problems, not believing in myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I was on the drug court program. And although I did not complete the drug program, once again, I got into a relationship.
One what that, is it with that, with us women anyway?
We want to feel good. We want external stuff to make us better instead of doing the work and waiting and being patient for that good stuff to come from us.
You think women in recovery or early recovery, you don't know how to pick a man that would be helped? Because there's a lot of awesome people out there to partner with.
I know there are, but I think... For me, that I need to validate myself.
Yes.
I need to confirm myself. I need the things that I do, like enrolling in school again. Yes, I'm going back in the spring semester.
Congratulations.
I'm 11 classes from graduating with an associate's degree, so I'm going to go back.
What's your major?
Human services.
Great. You'll be awesome.
I hope so.
Yes.
Maybe you'll give me a job.
Heck yeah, come on to Boonville, Indiana.
But I need to validate myself. I don't need a man or a relationship to tell me that I'm okay, that I'm lovable.
Yes.
That I'm good enough. Yeah. I need to know those things on my own.
Is that something you think is very common for girls in recovery?
Oh,
we
yeah.
need to get right with ourselves before
we have to. We have to get all that stuff out. You know, never in a million years would I have thought that I'd be sitting in a room telling all of Evansville all my dirt.
Isn't that the truth?
But
here you are.
If it's going to make me a better person and if it's going to help somebody else, then I'll tell it.
And you've got guts to come on here and share.
I had guts to do everything else. Why not have guts to do this?
And pray somebody's listening that needs your hope.
That
needs that hope that change is possible. Look at you.
Because a lot of the ladies that I ripped and ran with, some of them are still out there. I see them every now and then. And all I can do is say a prayer for them.
Yeah.
You know, and hope that one day I'll see them in a place where I frequent. You know?
Exactly.
Somewhere where we can laugh.
In the rooms.
In the rooms. And hopefully that'll happen. So if them listening to this or them seeing me, you know, at a bus stop or something, and I'm like, wow.
Hey, look at her.
Yeah, she doesn't look 110 pounds anymore, you know, because I've gotten really, really small in my addiction. So if that's going to help somebody, then that's okay.
And is Ruth's House would a saving sanctuary for women to go to?
Ruth's House is a wonderful, wonderful place. The staff is wonderful.
Oh, I think we've got a caller. Wait a minute. Caller, are you there?
I am.
Great. Hi.
Hi. My name is Julie.
Hi.
And I am in a program, and I just wanted Octavia to know how proud I am of her for having the guts to do what she's doing today, and God willing, it will help just one person out there realize that you don't have to go all the way down. You know, there's a way to stop it before you lose everything.
Julie, you got her crying. You got her, your girl crying.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Julie. I love you.
I love her, too.
Julie, she's your... I know. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Such hope for us in the rooms, huh? Yeah, what do you... Octavia, tell us about sponsorship a little bit.
Well,
that's your sponsor on the phone.
Yeah, that is my sponsor on the phone. It's really important. I'll tell you, my thing is... Because there wasn't a lot of trust in my childhood, there was the abuse with the men, with my mom and everything. I grew up not trusting people.
Sure.
You know, so it was hard for me to connect with my sponsor at first. But one day it just clicked, you know, and we started sharing some things about ourselves with each other. And then come to find out, our stories are very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So... To me, that made me want to open up more because I lived a lifestyle so long of being closed.
Yeah.
You know, you don't tell that. There's, you know,
that's right.
There's some things you just don't say.
Keep it out of the streets. Don't put it in the streets.
Exactly. And so I'm learning to just share and share honestly.
And you do, and you're beautiful. Thank you for coming.
Thank you
I know
for having me.
You have a great sponsor. I see you in the rooms working hard on your sobriety and recovery, and that you look happy and at peace in your eyes for sure.
I finally am happy.
It shows.
I'm happy with myself.
We got to have you back.
You can, whenever you want. I'll come back whenever you want.
All right. Everybody, you can get a copy of this interview on Lisa's site.